Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi. So I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of the history of OA and OA How and how they merged, kind of the ongoing food fights in the program. And I don't stand up in front of people. Mm-mm, not me. So Sharon is going to send these little cute little boxes around, and they have a piece of paper in there. So I think in terms of OA and OA How, people have myths and misconceptions and ideas about what they think the other program is or does or doesn't do. And so after I give my presentation, we're going to have a panel of people, two people from How and two from traditional OA, and they will be answering as many questions as they have time for. Yes, so as the baskets go around, thank you, I need my rock. Where did I put my rock?
Filling this out first, right?
Yes, fill it out. Oh my God, I lost my rock.
Oh, no, we're gonna keep...
Yeah, let's say the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. If you have something you've always wanted to know about the other program, or something you've heard about the other program, or something you want to know, I'm talking about OA and OA How. So if you are in regular OA, perhaps you've heard something about How, or you want to know something about How, or then you can write that on a piece of paper. If you're in How, you might have some ideas about people who are not in How and some questions about how they work their program or something you heard. You don't have to write anything if you don't want to. So think about that. Think about if there's something that you would like answered. Okay? I don't stand up in front of people. So, and here I am, and I have my rock. I have my rock, which is God. So, I want to tell you that, and also I only have 20 minutes, but it's a half hour presentation. So, I volunteered to talk about this topic, about how OA, how the How program came to be, how they were separate, and how right now in Seattle, we are one intergroup. There's been a controversy in OA since the beginning of time about food plans, not food plans, whether that's okay, what they are, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. It's pretty interesting. And the food fights have been basically about whether or not there should be a food plan versus people who felt they were, quote, carbohydrate addicted and really needed some more structure. I've been in the program over 20 years. I had never read Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. Anybody here read that, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams? Wonderful. I'd never read that before. It's a lot of sort of he said, she said, we went to this meeting, and then we answered, you know, and here's this letter and all. It's kind of crazy. But it's a timeline, and I got to look at especially the chapter called Abstinence and the Carbohydrate Controversy. This was the longest chapter in the book. So I just want you to know that I got most of my information from that book. I got some from World Service, some from people in this room who have been around during some of that controversy, some online. Most of it came from the book, but and I pulled it all together the best I can to kind of summarize it. I actually volunteered to do this because I have a passion for this. I have a passion for unity. It's been a passion in my life. I have it around religion. I have it around all kinds of things, you know, that we are one. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. I think I may shorten it, about how I came into OA so you can see how I developed this passion. When I first came into OA, I was not eating all day. And then I would either run around Green Lake or go to aerobics, and then I would binge all night. I lived near a 7-Eleven, and I would go back and forth and back and forth and until I looked like I was about 8 months pregnant, and then I would cry myself to sleep. And then the next day I would get up and I would say, because I'm a binger, I'm not a grazer. So, you know, I would say, okay, today I'm going to start, today I'm going to start. And of course I couldn't eat anything because I was hungover, and so then I wouldn't eat, and then I would run Green Lake, and, you know, you got the picture. That's what I was doing. So when I came to my first OA meeting, which was Monday night U-District meeting, I cried, and I dove into the program. I went to lots of meetings. I went out for coffee and lunch after meetings. I went to all the retreats. I worked the steps with the sponsor. I felt like a drowning person that was grabbing onto a life raft. My first abstinence was 3 meals a day with nothing in between. It was the first boundaries, the first food plan that I had. And I'm going to mention food. I hope it doesn't trigger anybody. But my very first, is that okay? My very first abstinence, every day for dinner, I went out to a fast food place and I had a hamburger, french fries, and a chocolate milkshake. But when I was done with that, I was done. That was my first abstinence. Pretty soon it leveled off and I started eating more healthy, and I got into eating really healthy abstinence, and I lost my weight. I started to feel better about myself as I worked the steps. I gave away my fourth step. And I was kind of eating like a normal person. I could have just about anything in moderation. I could have one or two pieces of pizza. I could have a glass of wine. I could do all of that. And I stayed abstinent in the program, working the steps, for years. And that was my, you know, I was able to eat moderately. But then I thought I'd arrived. I didn't need the program anymore. Obviously, I was fine. It was a normal weight. I knew how to eat normally. And besides that, I'd gotten married. I had a husband. I had a child. I had a great job. I had it made. And so I left the program. And I did okay for a while. But when my marriage started to go on the rocks, I started eating. First, a little bit here and there. And then pretty soon, I was overeating. And then I was binging. Worse than I was before. It was not pretty. At that time, even though I'd been in OA, I tried all kinds of diets that I hadn't ever done before. Oh my God. So eventually I came back to OA and I tried to do what I did before, you know, 3 moderate meals today. And I couldn't do it. It was like, I don't know, a year. I mean, I couldn't do it. So my disease had progressed because what had worked for me before wasn't working. And so that's when I started the HOW program. And in HOW, I had 3 weighed and measured meals a day. At that time in Seattle, the HOW program, your first 30 days, you took all the grains out to kind of get all that crap out of your system. And then after 30 days, I added whole grains. And I did that for several years, worked the steps again, had a sponsor, was abstinent. It all worked great. And then my son and I got involved in a theater program. And we were gone on weekends, and I would bring all my meals, and they provided these gourmet meals, and I just brought all my meals, and everything was fine. And then I decided, thank you, then I decided that I didn't need OA. Such a slow learner. And I remember my sponsor at that time saying, I'm scared for you, Lauren. And I went, you know what? Here's a group of people that accept me. I bring all my food. I'm on the stage now, you know. Although I want to tell you, when I was doing theater with my son, I always said, don't give me any lines. Don't let me stand out. I just want to be in the crowd because I don't like to do that. So anyway, you know, so that went fine for a while. And then I started fudging with my food and messing with it, and eventually I was, you know, binging like before. 8 months pregnant, looking, it was horrible. It was horrible. I really thought I would never go back there. I really did. And so, so I was out there for, you know, a year or so, and then I came back to OA, and I tried to pick up on the same food plan that I had when I left with grains, and I couldn't stay abstinent. Even with whole grains, I couldn't stay abstinent. So maybe I'd have a week or maybe even a month. And not only could I not have any long-term abstinence, but if I was abstinent for a month on the plan I was on before with whole grains, I was gaining weight. It was bizarre. So I had to take all grains out of my food plan, and that's been my food plan for the last 2 years. And I wish I didn't have to do it. I'd rather be back where I could have a piece of pizza and a glass of wine when I wanted to. But you know what? My disease progressed over time. And as it progressed, every time I left the program and it got worse, I needed something different. And I feel like I'm the poster child for needing something different at various times in my life in this program. Okay. Breathe, Lauren. Unlike in AA, where you just don't drink, we have to eat. And each of us needs to figure out what that means for us. You know, we all have the same disease, but we're all, you know, like I said, I'm a binger. My mother was a grazer. She died from this disease. She never binged, but she ate a little, she overate all day long. That's not me. So each of us needs to figure out where we are in our addiction and what we need in order to be abstinent. And so this is what I know about traditional OA and OA How. That everyone in traditional OA has a different food plan. Everybody in, quote, traditional OA works their program differently. Some people in traditional OA weigh and measure without exception. Do you believe that? And some people, their food plan in traditional OA is no binging or no purging. That's their plan and that works for them. In the How program, although everyone weighs and measures, not everybody does it exclusively. I don't weigh and measure when I go to restaurants. Some people do it exclusively. Some How sponsors, we have questions that we answer, and traditionally there's 30 questions, and then there's a whole slew of questions after that. Some How sponsors are sponsoring according to the big book. They're not even using the questions. So, and everyone in How has a different food plan. So my food plan is different than my sponsors, which is different than my sponsees. So now I want to give you kind of a historical perspective on the food controversy in OA. So when Roseanne first, I hope this isn't too boring, it's kind of a lot of dates and stuff, but anyway, when Roseanne first started our program in about 1961 in California, her first food plan was counting calories. Her mother was a dietitian, and that's what everybody did. They counted calories. The program was actually patterned after Gamblers Anonymous because they felt like theirs was a behavioral addiction, not a substance addiction. But they still needed some kind of parameters around the food. But soon Roseanne found that even though people were counting calories, they were still eating compulsively. One more piece of celery, one more carrot, one more piece of celery. They were, and some people who started losing weight started gaining weight again. So then she wrote up sort of the kind of first food plan after the counting calories, and this is, I took this from there, so quote, stripping the home of foods that help nourish a binge. Have a calorie chart. Count calories and measure. Plan. Think and prepare your course. 3 meals a day. Abstinence. Do not eat between meals. That was sort of trying to put some boundaries. And this was the first discussion of not eating in between meals. So at the same time, I don't know if any of you have heard of Father Edward Dowling. He's also often called Father John Doe. He was not an alcoholic, I don't think. Anyway, but he wrote something in the AA grapevine at that time, and this was around the same time, 1961, and I'll take a quote. He called it AA Steps for the Underprivileged Non-AA, and this is what he wrote. Quote, my 240-pound gluttony gave me 2 heart attacks. An alcoholic doctor, meaning a doctor who treats alcoholics, got me down toward 180 pounds when he advised a total AA abstinence from starch, butter, salt, and sugar. He said these 4 foods were probably my alcohol. Abstinence was so much easier than temperance. So in 1962, the concept of, quote, refined carbohydrates first was born. And it was by one of the original OA members. It wasn't Roseanne, but one of the other people. And she said, quote, I feel I have an allergy to carbohydrates, just as the alcoholic has an allergy to alcohol. So thus began the years, decades-long controversy. In 1963, a food plan was created which included no grains. It was printed on a 5x7 gold card and became known as the Gold Sheet. In 1964, the food plan had some adjustments made to it. It was printed on what was available, green paper, and it became known as the Green Sheet. Around that time, the non-food plan meetings became, that the first time around 1964, the term traditional OA was used for the first time as the non-food plan meetings, whereas the green sheet meetings became known as the carbohydrate abstainers. So they also used some other unflattering names, which I won't mention here. In 1966, a new pamphlet was introduced in OA called To the Newcomer, and inside the cover, it gave a definition of abstinence, which included three meals a day with nothing in between, as well as a statement that OA does not endorse any particular eating plan. In the meantime, the no-carb groups continued within OA, and the food plan, which was now printed on gray paper, became known as the Gray Sheet. Oh, good job. In the early 1970s, OA began to look at various food plans, believe it or not. So from 66, OA as a whole, World Service began, and they developed a booklet called Suggested Guides for Abstaining from Compulsive Overeating. In it, they said, OA does not endorse one specific plan of eating. However, it included two suggested eating plans. The first one was called Plan A, and the second was called Plan B. Plan A was a low-carbohydrate food plan suggested for losing weights. It contained, Plan A was a low-carbohydrate food plan suggested for losing weight. It contained sample menus, 16 specific instructions on purchasing, preparing, and eating allowable foods. They also gave a list of foods to avoid. Plan B was called the Basic Four Food Group Plan, suggested for losing weight. And believe it or not, Plan B included, quote, one citrus fruit for vitamin C, quote, 8 ounces of skim milk for calcium, whole grain bread, a, quote, very small baked potato, and 1 6-ounce glass of tomato juice. And shortly thereafter, a low-carbohydrate maintenance plan was also introduced. So this was all happening in California. At the same time, in New York, OA was starting to grow and get bigger. Some of the carbohydrate abstainers in New York included writing in their program. There really hadn't been anything particular about writing. And a set of questions was developed for the first 21 days that was based on the first three steps, followed by 9 questions regarding the tools of the program. They also developed what they called the stepping up ceremony, which took place after you finished the 30 questions and had 30 days of abstinence, and then you became a sponsor. So in 1977, the gray sheet was altered a bit, and it was printed on blue paper, and it was became known as the Blue Sheet. In 1979, however, OA adopted the first Dignity of Choice. I don't know if you knew that there was a Dignity of Choice plan, and it contained eight food plans, and here they are. The Basic Four, Sugar and Flour Free, Vegetarian, Youth, Medical, Modified Carbohydrate, No Refined Carbs, and Maintenance. Allowable foods for each plan were also listed. So it's interesting, you know, and just reading this, it's interesting how they went back and forth between just three meals a day, we don't endorse a food plan, and then trying all the different kinds of plans. And in 1985, the carbohydrate abstainers started a separate intergroup called, and they called it HOW, which is for honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, which are the first three steps. So they established their first separate intergroup. That was in 85. In 87, World Service decided that offering food plans was a violation of Tradition 10. And so you know, they wrote up this whole thing saying that there wouldn't be any food plans, and some of the people in Howe broke away and formed another program. Other people in Howe stayed, but they couldn't really promote any one food plan. In 1992, so that was 87, in 92, a policy statement was adopted by O entitled Unity with Diversity, and Bob mentioned that, and I'm going to read it to you. So 1992, Unity with Diversity Policy. The Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous recognizes the existence of individual approaches and different structured concepts to working our 12-step program of recovery, that the fellowship is united by our disease and our common purpose, and that individual differences in approach to recovery within our fellowship need not divide us. The fellowship respects the rights of individuals, groups, and intergroups to follow a particular concept of recovery within Overeaters Anonymous and encourages each member, group, intergroup, and region to also respect those rights as they extend the embracing hand of fellowship to those who still suffer. The fellowship encourages each duly registered group and intergroup and the various regions to affirm and maintain the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous by allowing any member to share his or her experience, strength, and hope in meetings, regardless of the individual approach or specific concept that members may follow. Duly registered is defined as being in full compliance with bylaws, subpart B, Article 5. And there is also actually a committee, a Unity with Diversity committee. So in other words, you know, we can be Howe, we can be non-Howe, we can be 90 dayers, Minnesota Howe, we can be all these things within the umbrella of Howe, but everybody is welcome at every meeting and everybody can share. I love how Bob said, as if you're a woman, you can go to a men's meeting, which, by the way, when OA first started, it was for women only and they had to vote men in. So that was a change too. So in 1995, the word abstinence was as a tool was replaced by the word food plan. In the Seattle area, there were two separate intergroups. There was an OA intergroup and an OA Howe intergroup. It was on October 5th, 2004, that OA and OA Howe intergroups in Seattle joined forces. And Howe, as they did that, Howe became what's called a standing committee within Seattle OA, which means it's a permanent committee, like the bylaw committee. It's not a temporary. So there'll always be a Howe within OA. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, World Service created the current Dignity of Choice pamphlet, which we have now. So that's the history. And in summary, I would like to say, I am so grateful to be here today. I am so loved and I am so accepted, and I can show up just as I am, and I appreciate all of you. In summary, we're all in this program because we have a disease, a physical, an emotional, and a spiritual disease. And as it says in the big book of AA, we have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and an ego that thinks we should rule the world. Every person in this program is important. We try to allow everyone's voice to be heard, especially the voice of the minority. Our food is so personal. I know that I need to keep my eyes on my own plate, so to speak. Actually, since Sharon gave me a little more time, I'd like to give another little anecdote. This was just recently. Within the last year, I went to an OA retreat just for the day. I went with Connie, and it was a non-Howe retreat. And the speaker was talking about eating pizza and drinking wine. And I said to Connie, oh my God, I can't believe it. And she counts calories. Can you believe she counts calories? And I was doing all this judging. And Connie looks over at me and she says, take what you like and leave the rest. Remember that? And I did. And then I listened. And this woman was a big book thumper. And I learned so much from her. And it was only afterwards that I remembered that at one time I was abstinent and I could have a piece of pizza. So we all, I'm judgmental. I get threatened. I have to say sometimes when I see other people eating what I can't, I get threatened because for me, it's not safe for me to think maybe I can have that, because been there, done that. So our food is a very personal thing. Don't talk about my food. Don't look at my plate. Don't touch my food. Thank you very much. But I also need to keep my eyes off of your plate and what you're eating. Although we have our disease in common, we all have different food plans. And we all even work our programs differently. Some people meet with their sponsor every week. Some people call in their food every day. Some people call their sponsor. I mean, we all do it differently. And this is the beautiful diversity of this program. To me, that's a big part of spirituality, you know, that we are all diverse within unity. We are all one in our unique ways. It's important to remember that it's our weakness that binds us, not our food plans. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message to those who still suffer. Love and tolerance should be our code. And to do our higher power's will is to love ourselves and to love each other and to be of service in the world.